The Word of God, where it says, "Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen, rather than in what is the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Come forward, please, Hans.
I was at a wedding yesterday at a chapel in Grindelwald. I reckon it was 42, 43 degrees in that chapel. And anyway, it was very hot. So we asked the guys to take the suit off, and they promptly put them back on again because they were just wet. It was so hot yesterday. Amazing. A little bit cooler today. So this morning we'll look at the new life we have in Christ. I want to begin by saying that we had neighbours, and they had a couple of dogs and birds, and our neighbours went away for about 3 days, and they asked if I would look after their dogs and their birds. So I'd go inside the house. Now, we don't have a TV set at our place, so I thought I should really just keep those animals company. So I decided to sit down and watch television one Saturday afternoon at their place, and I was flicking through the stations, and I think there was cricket on, bowls, maybe netball. And then there was one show called The Extreme Makeover. And I'd never heard of that show before, so I thought, I'll sit down and watch this show called The Extreme Makeover. And I was kind of surprised at this show, really, because what happened was they took this very ordinary woman. She was African-American, and, you know, her eyes were a little bit down, and she had, you know, teeth were not good, they were sort of all over the place, and eyes were, sort of puffy. So she was just wasn't really in good shape at all. Hair was stringy. And so she went away to, I think, to somewhere in Hollywood or something, and for months. And they worked on her. They gave her new teeth, they did something with her eyes, and they fixed up her hair. I think it took quite some time. They had a fitness expert. They had a makeup artist, fingernail specialist, you name it, a fashion coordinator. And anyway, here comes a big finale, you see. So all her friends were there, and she was behind the curtain, and they opened the curtain. And I must admit, she looked really good. And it was, the people going, they're all sort of amazed at this change, this complete change that happened to this young lady. And I must admit, I felt really happy for her. People in the audience were sort of crying. I was touched by that, actually. I nearly had a tear myself. I thought this was really a lovely thing, obviously, that this woman had experienced. I could feel the happiness. In fact, I've got a sample of the show there. So, you know, you have a sort of a before and after thing with the extreme makeover. I remember going later that evening, I went to the mirror myself and thought, you know, maybe I can do some... maybe we could do a little bit of work here and there. But then I thought, why would someone go through all that discomfort and pain just to change themselves? And, of course, there's quite a risk also in doing this. Anyway, I spoke to someone about this program, and they more or less retorted in a kind of a snide way. They said, look, this show just reflects the shallowness of the West. You know, it just tells us what we like in Western society. We're just so obsessed with beauty and appearance. Well, I kind of reflected on what this person said, and, you know, I've been studying cultures extensively for years. Because I reckon I've flicked through about 1,000 National Geographics, which always teaches you about cultures. I regard myself as somewhat of an expert, really, because I've been reading National Geographics for years. I know about cultures. And when you look at other cultures, you actually find that in every culture, there's been some way of people trying to make themselves look better. For example, ancient Egyptians discovered lipstick. They figured that if women have red lips, they look better. Maoris have tattoos, and they really cover themselves completely with tattoos. Now, they obviously do that because somehow they want to look better. There's an African tribe there. They put discs on the bottom of their lips. Now, I don't find that attractive at all, but I guess you wouldn't do it unless you thought it was somehow enhancing your looks. When I was in China, I found that in China, white skin is something that's very, very beautiful. So you can buy all sorts of creams over there to make your skin look white. And Joe and I, we were in England, and she wanted to go to a fashion museum. I was walking around, you know, but anyway, it was quite good. But there also we found that, you know, fashions right from the early days, people want to look good. Now, why is that? Well, really, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, we read about creation in Genesis, and God says that everything was good, good. Then he gets to the man and the woman. He says, God created it was very good, very good. You know, we are like God's Mona Lisa. You know, we're up there. This is the most wonderful thing God has created, is humanity. But, you know, since the fall, some are more beautiful than others. But, you know, there is an innate desire in all humanity. We really want to go back to paradise. There's this desire within us for that which is beautiful, for that which is good. There's a desire within us for justice, for kindness. There's a desire in humanity to rebuild what we lost in Eden, paradise. And if you study sociology or any of those sort of things, you can see that there's this real deep desire within us. There's a longing to be back in paradise where everything was perfect and beautiful. You can actually say that the whole of humanity has a kind of homesickness for the Garden of Eden from where we came, and a longing to go back there again. So, and because that desire is there, well, people will continue to seek that in some way. Of course, as long as they do that without Christ, they'll never get there. But nevertheless, there's that desire there. Well, the whole thing about the extreme makeover is that the plastic surgeons, the orthodontists, fashion designers may well be able to fix up people on the outside. And I'm sure that once you are fixed up on the outside, you'd probably feel pretty good. But that feeling, like, is the same kind of feeling you have, like, you know, when you've just been married and it's really great, or you've just got a new car, or if you've just been on a great holiday. You feel good for a while, but after some time, it's you who you've got to deal with. It's who you are. And so I looked at this woman and I wondered. Yes, they made her feel good for a while, I'm sure. for quite some time. But in the end, life has the same disappointments, same struggles, same loneliness, same fears. An extreme makeover doesn't heal brokenness. It doesn't really deal with what's within us. Because really, what's within us is what makes us who we are. And it's interesting, you know, I've come across some good-looking people who think they're ugly. They actually deprecate themselves quite readily. And I've seen some fairly ordinary-looking people who strut around like peacocks and as if they're there really, really something. It's what's within. Now, the thing is that not all of us can get an extreme makeover on the outside, but you can, and you can have an extreme, and I'm talking extreme, extreme, makeover on the inside. And I've had one of those. I've had an extreme makeover on the inside. I'm currently continually working on my internal makeover. So I've had one of those. And the makeover on the inside is about becoming a better person, really. So you want to be more loving, more forgiving, a kinder person, more generous, more thoughtful, more balanced in the way that you understand things. A kind of person that really others would like to be with. So after people get past the exterior, what you really want is people to discover that you're kind, thoughtful, that you're loving, patient, generous, considerate, a good listener, that you're gentle and honest. You know, it's great when you meet lovely people, beautiful people, the kind of people who, after you've spent some time with them, you actually feel encouraged. It's really nice when you meet those. I hope you meet those kind of people regularly, actually. And you know the kind of person I'm talking about. You met them, you spent some time with them, and you feel good that you've been in their company, in their presence. They kind of encourage you. So how do we become this? Well, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And it's interesting, the word new here in the Greek is completely new. So it's not about being renewed, but it's actually get rid of the old, like actually get rid of it. It's like taking the old car to the wreckers and getting rid of it, and you get a brand spanking new one. And that's the word here in the Greek. Brand spanking new. It's about the old being replaced, the old nature, and the new. It's the new in Christ. And it's a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of understanding life. In fact, the inner makeover is so extreme that you actually move into a new reality. Jesus gives us a whole new way of seeing and understanding practically everything. In fact, this is how you'll know if you've been made new in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've had this extreme makeover, because you get a new understanding of things. You know, it's so interesting how some people say that Christians are narrow-minded. And I do a lot of I have a lot of contact with people who aren't Christians, and at university and other places, and they're always questioning me, and they talk to me as if though I'm narrow-minded. And when people talk to me in a tone or in some way as if, you know, Hedge, you're narrow-minded, I say, no, actually, I'm not. And they actually try to put on you that Christians have got the blinkers on, and basically, if you're not a Christian, you've got a broader way of seeing things. It's the other way around, let me tell you. It's the opposite. You know that Christians are the only people who see the world, life, and the universe for what it really is. We're the only people. Only people who believe in Jesus have a clear understanding of the world, the universe, and life. Christians share, you see, we share God's reality of everything. And only God's reality is the true reality. So when people say to me, you know, Christians are narrow-minded, no, no, let's get this right. You're the one that's narrow-minded. I see the world the way that God sees it. I have God's reality of life, the world, the universe, and everything else that's based on knowledge. So that's the first thing that we have when we're a new creation. We have a new way of seeing and understanding the world. The inner brings us a Christ-like way of thinking, of understanding things. When God works in our lives, as Peter puts it, we share in the divine nature. In 2 Peter 1 verse 4, read there, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may, note there, participate in the divine nature. Yeah, that's God. So becoming a Christian brings a radical change to every part of our life. In fact, it's amazing the change that happens. It's by far the best change that a person can ever have. And the change is an eternal one. Not just for the here and now, it's a change that God works in us for all eternity. Let me tell you about a person who's experienced this makeover. You can read about him in the scriptures. There was a man there who was a blasphemer, so a person who would curse the name of Christ. He was a persecutor. He was a violent man. He describes himself in these terms. He was there when a man named Philip, who was a follower of Christ, was stoned to death. He gave approval of it. And this particular man was on his way to Damascus, and he was going to go there and he was going to persecute, wipe out Christianity. He saw it as an affront, as something that was a wrong teaching. And he writes, actually, I did all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus Christ. And, of course, this man was Paul, the Apostle Paul, a persecutor, a blasphemer, a violent man. And then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Jesus called him, Saul, Saul. And Paul cried out, who are you, Lord? And he explained to him, you are persecuting me. From that point on, Paul became a follower of Christ, and he changed. 100 degree turnaround. Paul became a new person. He was no longer a violent man, a persecutor, and a blasphemer of the name of Jesus. In fact, he went out there and proclaimed the Lord Jesus Christ. There we see one man where the change was complete in the Apostle Paul. And just as Paul was changed so radically, so also you and I, through faith in Jesus and through the inworking of the Holy Spirit, we can be radically change. We need to believe that. And so we read in verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, we read in Corinthians, in Christ. Now it's interesting, when you read the scriptures, the words in Christ or in the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit in us or Christ in us, those terms are kind of freely interchanged by Paul. They basically mean the same thing. You see, the Holy Spirit was sent to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when people think about, is the Holy Spirit working within you? Well, if you are giving glory to Jesus, then the Holy Spirit is within you. A sure sign of the Holy Spirit being within us is that we have a desire to follow Jesus and to become Christ-like. And this is the main task of the Holy Spirit, is to give glory to Jesus. We read that in John's Gospel. In fact, Jesus says himself that the Holy Spirit was sent to give glory. It's like I say, the Holy Spirit doesn't work on his own. He gives glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same Spirit who is in the Lord Jesus Christ is the same Spirit who is within us as Christians. And so it's one work that we have through the Holy Spirit. And so it's the Holy Spirit who creates this new life in us. And it's the Holy Spirit's task to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what the Holy Spirit does. He makes us new in Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Christ in us. And so we become Christ-like. And that's the new nature. That's the extreme makeover that we have in Jesus. So that's a new way of thinking, a new way of understanding yourself, but it's also a new way of behaving, a new way of living Christ-like. So how can we get this change? How can we really have this change as our personal experience? Well, first of all, you need to recognise that you need it. Just like when people want to get an extreme makeover. They look at themselves in the mirror, they've got the puffy eyes, the saggy flesh, the bent nose, the crooked teeth, and they think, man, I want to do something about this. I want to change. And so they'll go to their surgeons. Well, it's the same with Christians, really. We've got to look at ourselves and you might say, well, I really don't like who I am. I might be lost, I might be feeling lonely, I don't know who God is, my life's going nowhere, I'm working every day, but there's an emptiness inside me. And so some people say, I want to change. I'm missing something. There's something not complete in my life. Or you mightn't like who you are. You might have gone through a marriage breakup because of some issues that you face yourself, or your children don't love you anymore, you can't understand it. Things aren't right at work. You want to change. Sometimes people have that experience. I want to change. This is not working for me, this way I'm living. And so, or you might have felt that you've lied, you're unfaithful, decisions you make aren't right. So sometimes we need to do some self-examination and look at who we are and think about who we would like to be. And sometimes that self-examination, it's good to use Jesus as our mirror, really. This is really what I want to look like. This is the kind of person I want to be. I like to be like Christ. Another issue that we have is, how is it going to be when you meet God? Everybody's going to meet their Maker at some point. You know, it's interesting, when Peter first met Jesus, he fell on his knees in humility. And he said, go away from me, Lord, because I'm a sinful man. Have you ever gone somewhere and you haven't worn the right clothes? I remember Joe and I went to an Amnesty dinner and everybody was dressed, you know, like ties. I mean, everybody was dressed up. And a woman walked in and she had a pair of jeans on, a casual shirt. And do you remember that? And Joe and I saw her and we thought we should, because she felt very uncomfortable. So we actually went up to talk to her and try to make her feel comfortable. She sat down straight away at a table so that, you know, people wouldn't see her jeans. I mean, you imagine going jeans and T-shirt to, you know, pretty high kind of a thing. So she felt very, very uncomfortable. Well, let me tell you, if anyone is in Christ, we read, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So through faith, we read that the old, the sinful, the shameful, the guilty you is gone. So in Christ, we are new. So what that means is that God no longer looks or sees your sin. When God looks at you, he sees the new that you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the extreme makeover that we have in Jesus means that you'll be able to stand next to Jesus and not feel ashamed. You'll be able to be in his presence and not feel the guilt, not feel the shame. In fact, he'll be like a brother to you. It's as if you were like him. Now, I find that's an amazing gift that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when Christ returns, you're going to feel ashamed, You're going to feel out of place. You're going to feel like you're not going to feel like that woman who walked into this dinner with jeans on. You are going to be Christ-like, and you're going to be accepted. You'll be able to stand next to Jesus and not feel ashamed in any shape or form. That is the radical, extreme makeover that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that. I'm looking forward to be able to stand next to the Lord Jesus Christ and not feel the shame and the guilt. So how do I get this extreme makeover in the Lord Jesus Christ? But first of all, you need to see that you need it. I need it. Lord, I need it. The second thing is, you need to want it. This is really what I want. I want a change in my life. I want a change. I don't want to be who I am. I want to be what Christ wants me to be. And the third thing is, you need to believe that Christ can do this, that he wants to do this. In fact, that he died on the cross for you to make it possible for this to happen, because that's where our sin, our old nature went. There on that cross, historical event, it's gone when we turn to Christ in faith. Jesus died so that the old could go. So how can I get an extreme makeover? Well, we need to begin by saying, I'm sorry, Lord, I've sinned against you. I've gone my own way. I've resisted what you've had to offer. Lord, I need you. I need to change. And I know that you're the only one that can do it. You're the only one that can make me new. And maybe some of you still need to make that step. For those of you who have walked with the Lord for many years, and I know that many of you are, let me encourage you that you are new. You are new. You have the Spirit of Christ. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, I read this, one of my favourite passages. It says there, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Isn't that a wonderful passage? See, I don't care now if I look in the mirror and my hair goes grey and I get all these lines, because so what? Outwardly I'm wasting away? True, I am wasting away. But inwardly, we read, we are being renewed day by day. That's the walk that we have. So the new is also a becoming new. And I still got a long way to go. But I know that God is patient. God continues to work. And that God is willing to forgive. You know, I find Christianity a bit of a struggle, actually. Struggle against sin. But nevertheless, this is the promise that I have. I'm new, and there's an ongoing renewal. God is there. He actually says, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And that's really what the Christian walk is. It's a day by day walk, because every day we have our struggles. So there it is for those of us who are following Christ. So this is the hope. This is the hope that we have in Christ, this great gift that he's given us. It's the life that we have. The old is gone, we read, and the new has come. So let us live every day the new that we are in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we give glory, honour and praise to you for your mercy, for your kindness, for your forgiveness. We thank you, Jesus, that you are willing to take upon yourself all our sins, that you're willing to die for us because of your love for us. We thank you, O Spirit of God, that you've come freely as a gift, and that you are willing to work within us, that even when we, O Lord, go against you, that you continue to work because you are patient. Indeed, O Lord, we thank you for your patience. And we ask that you would continue to be patient with us. Help us, O God, in our struggle against sin. Help us, O Lord, to walk in your ways. We ask, O Lord, that you would strengthen each one of us here. Father, you know each one of us. You know what's on our hearts, on our minds. You know, Lord, how we are before you and our relationships with one another. But we pray, O Lord, that you would help each one of us to be renewed today, to be strengthened. May we be encouraged, and may we continue our journey with you. And may you, O Lord, continue to mould and make us in the image of your Son. Prepare us, O Lord, for the day of glory. Help us also, O Lord, to live Christ so that others may see, so that others may also turn to you and seek you, so that others may see the new life, what it is, and may have a desire also for this great gift that you've given to each one of us. So, Lord, we ask that you would strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen.